105. Psalm 105. I want to begin reading at verse number 16. Psalm 105, verse number 16. It says, "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him." I want to speak about Joseph for a little bit this morning. The title of my message is Functioning in a Traumatized Life. Functioning in a Traumatized Life. Many people's lives have been traumatized. Some of you have experienced some type of trauma. Trauma is injury, sometimes physical, sometimes psychological, that is caused often by a sudden event, which lasts for some time, some season in our lives. Sometimes it may be short, sometimes it may be long. A person may get in a car accident and have a physical trauma that they may have recovered from in a week or a month. Some people go for years and years and years. Some people live the rest of their lives with the injury that they received from that accident. We can also be traumatized psychologically in our minds by events that have happened to us. Some of you have been using the one-year Bible, like I do, and probably this week you finish reading up the life of Joseph. Joseph certainly is a model of a traumatized life and a man who functioned through it and did amazing. And yet we're going to document some of his trauma today, and then I want to give you 4 points on how he made through that and was able to function. Others do not function once they're traumatized. They maybe recoil, they become reclusive, maybe the advancement of their life ends at that moment, whatever it might be. The Bible's filled with stories of people who were traumatized. And God has recorded these for our learning. Think of Job. I think it was probably trauma when his 10 children died in one day, wouldn't you? I think that would be pretty difficult. Think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and they were hauled off from Israel, their homeland, Canaan, and taken as slaves down into Babylon and made eunuchs. You just go home and get a dictionary out and look up the word eunuch, and I'm sure it was a traumatic thing. And yet Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego functioned for the Lord in Babylon and never, ever got to go back home. I'm sure it was trauma to John when his brother James was killed by the sword that was wielded by Herod. I'm sure it was probably trauma to John when he stood at the foot of the cross and said he saw his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, just brutally murdered and slaughtered and nailed, spiked to a tree. I'm sure that was traumatic to Mary. How many of you moms would like to give one of your children up to be crucified and then stand there and watch it? I'm sure that's got to affect you some. I'm sure it was traumatic for John the Baptist's disciples to have to go and take the corpse of their leader that was headless because a wicked woman had his head cut off and carried to Herod in a charger. David and all the wars that he was in and the atrocities of the wars that he was in. And yet these people all seem to be able to function in a life that was met with some type of trauma. Notice verse 18, "whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron." This is Joseph. This is a fine young man. Who is hurt. This is talking about the story and Genesis, if you want to turn back to, let's go back to chapter 35. Let's just start to look at some of the things, but let's not forget what we just read in Psalms there about his feet were hurt in irons and fetters. He was carried off from Canaan land down into Egypt, sold for 20 pieces of silver by his jealous brothers. And he was hurt. It hurt him physically. It hurt him emotionally. It hurt him psychologically. In chapter number 40, I believe it is 42, and verse number 21, 20 years after he was sold into slavery by his jealous brethren, they said this in chapter 42 and verse 21, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. Notice this statement. And that we saw the anguish of his soul. We saw the anguish of his soul. Read on. When he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us. So not only was he hurt physically with fetters and iron, but his own brothers 20 years ago couldn't get over the memory of their brother Joseph and the anguish in his soul, how he besought himself for us, said, please don't do this to me. Please. They saw the anguish of his soul and they could never forget it. He was traumatized psychologically also. And prior to all of this, in chapter number 35 and verse number 18, it says this, and it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Rachel is Joseph's mother. He's about 14 years of age here. He loved his mother. He was her firstborn. She becomes a child a second time when he's about 14 years of age, and she comes to the birth. The boy's name would be Benjamin, but Joseph's mom dies in childbirth. I'd say it'd probably affect you, wouldn't it? I know my mom died when I was young, going on 5 years of age. I know it affected, altered my whole life. It altered my dad's life. It altered my brother's life. In chapter 37, in verse number 1, it says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Now notice in verse 2, it says, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And this is where we have the story that is brought up in Psalm 105. And I'm kind of trusting today that most of you are familiar with the Bible story of Joseph. And if not, that you'd read through it. I'm not going to go through all of the details. But he's 17 years of age. His father makes a huge mistake in parenting. And that he loves Joseph more than all of his other children. And as a result, his other children, it says, hate him and are jealous of him and envious of him because his father makes for him a coat of many colors and shows his partiality and preference towards Joseph, the youngest, besides Benjamin, who's three. And they become jealous because Dad loves Joseph more than us. And I want to encourage you fathers and mothers not to have any partiality towards any of your children or grandchildren. None. Ever. I've written a book called Mistakes for Fathers to Avoid, where I bring out 12 different mistakes fathers make in the Bible and the horrific consequences that it costs their children. And one of them is showing partiality and preference towards one of their children over another. This is what Joseph, or this is what Jacob does towards Joseph in chapter number 37. As the story goes on, Joseph receives some dreams from God. This is very important for us to understand how to function in a traumatized life. God begins to give Joseph some dreams, some what we would call revelation. He sees a dream and he sees these 11 sheaves, these bundles of straw and wheat and oats, bowing down to his bundle of sheaves. And as he tells his brethren this, they say to him in verse 8, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for the dreams and for his words. And then he has another dream about the sun and the moon and the 11 stars making obeisance to him. And he tells it to his father, and his father gets upset, and his brethren, verse 11, begin to envy him. And who can stand before envy, the Bible asks. One day, the men are out in the field watching their sheep, and as you know, Joseph comes out, and as he's coming, one of them says, "Behold, his dreamer cometh." And they begin to scheme, and they say, "Listen, we hate our brother. We can't stand him. Let's just get it over with. Let's just kill him." But Reuben says, "No, let's not kill him." And so they throw him into some pit until they decide, what are we going to do with our brother? We can't stand living with him anymore. What are we going to do with him? And so they strip his coat of many colors and they dip it in the blood of a slain animal and they take it back to Jacob and they say some animal got him and killed him and so on. But as they're sitting around eating bread trying to figure out what to do with their brother in the pit, this band, this company of Ishmaelites, these Gideonites, come. And they have an idea. They said, "Let's sell him to them for 20 pieces of silver." And so they all agree on this, and they pull him out of the pit, and they sell him to these merchantmen, Midianites, in verse number 28. And this is where we have the words that we read earlier in Psalm 105, where they hurt his hands and his feet in irons and fetters, and where we read in Genesis 42, where we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought himself for us. This is where the trauma comes into Joseph's life when he's 17. He's already had to go through his mother dying. Now, trauma comes to us in many different forms. Many of you have been traumatized, perhaps by the death of a mother, the death of a father, the death of a child. My wife and I have a friend in the town we live in whose sister was murdered and whose brother-in-law ended up going to jail for the rest of his life because he murdered her sister. And then, just a few years later, her dad and mom were in a propane tank explosion, and her mom lived for 4 days after the propane tank explosion. I remember going to see her in the burn treatment center down there in Buffalo and just praying with her. She was a sweet sister in the Lord. She lived for 4 days and died. And then the father lived about a year after his injuries and died. You know, that's a lot to go through in a life. But this lady has continued to function, and she's functioning this morning in her church. In music ministry and just being a good testimony, trying to minister to her neighbors. Functioning in a traumatized life. Some have been robbed, some have been raped, some have been molested. Some have been traumatized by an unexpected divorce, something they never ever planned on in their life. Some have been traumatized by the divorce of their parents that as a little boy or a little girl, maybe your parents divorced and you just couldn't understand it and you lived with a lot of guilt. You probably thought it was your fault somehow. Others have had war experiences or accidents or injuries from accidents. Some have known the desertion of a father. We have people in our church whose mothers have deserted them. And they've never seen their mother again. Some it's the contracting of a disease. Many others in this world, it's natural disasters, earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis that sometimes that fast, take away everything they worked for all of their life. with no warning. That tsunami that hit Indochina a few years ago, over 200,000 people perished that fast. Lost everything that they own. Folks, there's trauma. Now, some of you have never been traumatized. Trauma alters a life, but it does not have to stop a person's life, as we see in the life of Joseph. Things go from bad to worse. I mean, he decides to make it in captivity. He's hurt. He's psychologically hurt. But he has a purpose in life that was given to him by God in his dreams. And as we think of how it is that Joseph made it, I want to say to you today, number one, by the purpose of God. By the purpose of God. Every one of us, there is a divine purpose for why you exist today. And trauma does not have to stop that purpose from being fulfilled in your life. That was the first thing I believe that Joseph held on to. God had given him some dreams. God had given him some revelation in his youth. And he knew that God never lies and that God always brings his word to pass. Now, he did not understand how this would have anything to do with it. But later he would understand it had everything to do with it. And you have got to have a purpose in your life, and that purpose, listen, this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say this morning, that purpose has to be greater than yourself. God's purpose for your life is greater than yourself. And if you can get it out and you can find out that God has a purpose for your life, it'll help you to still function despite your trauma. Now don't sit around waiting for dreams and revelations. Get into the book. Get into the Bible. God does not speak to us today in signs and miracles and wonders and dreams and revelations. He speaks to us through the completed canon of Scripture, the Holy Bible. But as you read the Bible, God will show you a purpose for why you exist, a divine purpose, a will for your life that He wants you to fulfill, and when He shows that to you, nothing can prevent it from happening. And you will be able to function despite your trauma that you have grown up through because, you know, I still have a purpose in my life. God has given me a purpose. Joseph had a cause. Joseph had a cause in those dreams that God had given to him. So things go from bad to worse. He's in Egypt. He's trying his hardest. He's promoted by Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, most powerful man on the earth. And he's given a place in one of Pharaoh's officers' homes named Potiphar. He goes to work for Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. While he's working for Potiphar, he's trying his best in a bad situation. And God begins to bless him and God begins to use him. But Potiphar's wife casts her eyes upon him. She likes him. She's got a problem with lust. And she begins to desire him. And day after day after day, she tempts him to lie with her. Joseph is an extremely righteous man. And he answers her with this question in verse number 9 of 39. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He said, I cannot be immoral. This is great wickedness. It's sin against God. But day after day after day, she keeps on. And one day, he's caught in a compromising situation where he's alone in the house with her. And she sees a chance, and she grabs him. She grabs him by the garment and tries to force him. But in his integrity, he rips himself out of the garment and bolts out of the house, leaving his garment behind. When Potiphar gets home, she says, the man who owns this garment tried to come in and rape me, and he gets so upset he sticks him in prison, a prison where he will be bound between 2 to 4 years for something he didn't do. Now, that's a long time. It's a long time. And he's left there in prison and he is forgotten. Even the butler, when he would get out of prison, some of you know the story, Joseph said, please remember me when you get out. Tell Pharaoh that I didn't do this. Please remember me to Pharaoh, but the butler got out and forgot. And he was left in prison. He was in with the king's prisoners, the worst of the prisoners of that day. But he made the best of it, and he ended up becoming a leader in the prison. One day, Pharaoh needs a dream interpreted, and the butler says, oh, I forgot. There was a guy a couple years ago in prison named Joseph who told me what my dream meant. He knows God. The Spirit of God is in this man. And they get him out of prison. They shave him up, clean him up, and bring him up to Pharaoh. And he tells Pharaoh about his dream, that there's going to be 7 years of plenty in Egypt and then 7 years of famine and dearth and what he should do. And Pharaoh says, wow, that's amazing. Why don't I appoint you over it? And of course, Joseph then is appointed over the food supply in the nation of Egypt. One of the worst chapters in Joseph's life is chapter 39. Look there for a minute. And I want to show you number two, by the presence of God. Functioning in a traumatized life. Number one, by the purpose of God. Joseph knew God had a purpose for his life. And number two, Joseph knew the presence of God. Look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Now this is the worst chapter of his life just about. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 23. Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I want you to notice a statement that's found four times in about the worst chapter of his life, about the worst season of his life, and what is it? The Lord was with him. 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 I want you to understand the Lord does not desert us in a traumatized life. The Lord is with us. I think some man, so I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but somebody so aptly taught this to us in a poem. I don't know if it's a poem or a story called Footprints in the Sand. It's become just world famous, and it's a tremendous, profound truth portraying our journey of life. Most of you have heard it. And in this story called Footprints in the Sand, this man gets to the end of his life, and he portrays his life as a long journey that he took down along the shore of an ocean or a sea or something. And as he gets to the end, he looks back, and he sees that there are many times in his life where there are two sets of footprints. And then other times where there's one set of footprints during the real difficult times. Then two sets of footprints, and then one set, and then two sets, and then one set. And he looks back and is puzzled, and he doesn't understand it. And he brings his complaint to the Lord. And he says, Lord, as we walk together through life, he says, there's only one set of footprints during the hard times. Why did you desert me during those times? And the Lord, of course, says to him what? The famous words. He says, I didn't desert you at those times. I carried you through those times. And that's what we're reading here in chapter 39. The Lord was with him. 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 He goes to prison, the Lord's with him. He goes into slavery, the Lord's with him. He goes to Potiphar's house, the Lord's with him. And one of the things we have got to understand, and some of you have been traumatized, is that the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. I'm not saying the Lord ordained the trauma in your life. Most trauma is caused by men or by the devil. But the Lord can be with us through that time. I think that when we will just get a grip of this, and it'll bless your heart. Way back in the book, I'll read this, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with them. God was with them. Do you really believe by faith God is with you? He is with you. And He's with you with the times that don't make sense and the times that hurt the most. God is with you. And if you go far enough in your journey, you'll look back and you'll understand God carried me through those times. God carried me through those times. Some of you have been traumatized verbally. You've been told all your life you're no good. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. And you know, when you're a little kid, you don't have the faculties to defend yourself. And you tend to believe what you've been taught. It tends to hurt. It tends to hurt psychologically. Sometimes people struggle with that the rest of their lives. But the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now God is good. When we get to chapter 41, God shows His goodness to people who are traumatized by moving them into the next season of their life. And oftentimes that next season of their life becomes a season of healing. Now, I don't know what God will do for you, but I see what He did here for Joseph. In chapter 41, you see the provision of God and verses 45 through 52, in Joseph's case, listen, in Joseph's case, I don't know what God will do with you, but in Joseph's case, God gives Joseph a wife. That's God's provision. We're told in the Scriptures that a prudent wife is from the Lord. And God brings Asenath into His life and He marries her. And he's into the next season of his life and they begin to have some children. And they name the first child, as you get to chapter number 41 and verse 51. Chapter 41, verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, notice this, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Did you know that God can so bless you in the season that you are living in right now that you can forget your past? God has caused me, and that's what the word Manasseh means, to forget. It means to be forgetful. To be forgetful of injustices and injuries of the past. That's what Manasseh means. He says, you know, God's given me a wife. God's moved me into the next season of my life. God's goodness is here. God's blessing me in Egypt. And I'm one of the highest officers now in Egypt. And He's gotten me out of prison. He's gotten me out of slavery. And now He's given me a precious wife. Now He's given me precious children. God's been so good to me. I think I'll name my firstborn Manasseh, which means I've forgotten all my toil. And I've forgotten my father's house. I forgot the hurt my home life brought to me when I was growing up. A lot of people need to forget that. If you can just go on in your journey with God and see the goodness of God and get into this season of life and get right with God and do God and get God's purpose in your life and practice God's presence in your life and see God's provision in your life, you'll be able to function in a traumatized life. Well, he has another son. His name is Ephraim. In verse 52, it says this, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Not only has God helped me to be forgetful of my past, but fruitful in my present. Ephraim, in the land of my affliction, I've been able to be fruitful for God. Been able to serve my God and be able to serve my generation by the will of God. If you don't object to writing in your Bible, in verse 51, circle the words "for God" in your Bible. And in verse 52, circle the words "for God" in your Bible. Notice who he gives the credit to. "For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." Please understand, number three, the provision of God. He says, God gave this to me. God gave me a wife. God gave me children. What a blessing. I've just forgotten all the hard times I've had. I'm so enjoying what God's doing for me right now. It's brought such healing to my spirit. I've forgotten all the hurt of my past. You know, I can relate with Joseph. I grew up in what we would call a dysfunctional home. I mean, I'm talking about borderline bizarre. Just strange stuff. Of course, after my mother died and all that kind of stuff, and I don't want to get into it all, but man, it was crazy. It was just one of those things. When I got into the Army when I was 18, it was just like, I had to be out of my home. You know, a few years later, God let Leslie come into my life. And then we started having children. 27 years ago today, yesterday I became a father for the first time. God has been so good to me in this season of my life that I just completely have forgotten what I grew up with. I've been enjoying life so much because of the goodness of God, the provision of God, that God just used Leslie and Rebecca and Stephen and Rachel, my children, to so enrich my life that I don't even think about what I went back through. I can relate with Joseph. The provision of God, God will bless you. God will help you in this season of your life, and he'll heal you, and you can get over those things in the past. Now, let me close and say this, number four, the plan of God. How do you function in a traumatized life? Number one, understand the purpose of God. God has a purpose for your life, and no human being can stop it from happening. You just get that down. God has a purpose for your life, and there is no human being, no family member that can stop it from happening if you'll pursue it. Number two, the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. See God with you in the hard times. Number three, the provision of God. A wife, in his case, and children. I don't know what God will do for you, but last of all, the plan of God. The plan of God. Look at chapter 45 and verse 7. And you see, 20 years have gone by. He's about 37 now. The food has run out in Israel. They say, hey, we hear there's food down in Egypt, and Jacob sends all of his sons down there to Egypt. And he goes down and they meet a man who's in charge of the food supply, but their eyes are blinded. They don't know it's their brother Joseph. And guess what they do to him? They all get around him and bow down to him. His brothers. And when it's all over with, when they get way down to the end of the journey, Joseph says this about his life in verse number 7, chapter 45. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. The plan of God. Sadly, there's not enough people that walk down that journey with God long enough to be able to turn around and say, that's why I went through that. That's why I went through that. I don't even pretend to be a good minister, but I think my mom dying of cancer and just a dysfunctional home and bizarre behavior and just types of abuse that I went through and everything at the time made no sense. But there was a purpose for my life that I wasn't going to be distracted from. I didn't know that purpose eventually would be to be a pastor. And then you find a world filled with people in dysfunctional homes. A bunch of people with families. We have people dying of cancer. Children being hurt and verbally and emotionally and physically and so on. Preparation. I'm not saying God ordained it, but He allowed it and He was with me in it. And He'd whisper in my ear at times and said, he would just say, stick with me. You're going to get through this. I'm going to heal you of all of this, and it's going to be helpful for you to minister to others. That's what Joseph's saying. God sent me before you to preserve you. God knew what He was doing 20 years ago by allowing this to happen. Famous words in chapter 50, and we'll close with this. Chapter 50, verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, now this is after Jacob dies, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good. To bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you. And your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a man. What a man Joseph was. To forgive. And not just, yeah, I'll forgive you, but get out of my life. No. Let me help you. I got a little revelation from God that all this was about me coming down here before you so that I could help preserve you and in fact, preserve the whole nation of Israel. See, there's a purpose. There's a presence. There's a provision. There's a plan. Even in the traumatized life. That God can use somebody greatly. Trauma may have altered your life, but it doesn't have to stop your life. I mentioned earlier Dr. John Vaughn. Gas explosion. Little daughter. 95% of her body burned, third degree burns. Lost her ears, lost her nose, lost an eye, lost her fingers. Hundreds of surgeries, skin grafts. His wife, 65% of her body, third degree burns. Just, I don't know how to say this properly, but the physical attractiveness as a wife to him as a husband gone. And if you want to meet a man that loves his wife, you go out to this marriage conference. See, some of us have never really been tested if we love our wives or not. But as a result, they needed some place for their little girl to go to school, and no school would take her. And so they started Hidden Treasures School down there in South Carolina. I don't know how many years ago, 27 years ago I think it was. And because of that traumatic day in the Vaughn's life, a school has been built where hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds over the years of extremely disabled children have been able to relocate and have a school that would care about them. And that little girl somehow just learned how to drive. Got her driver's license. Graduated from Bob Jones University. She's writing materials now to help people who are severely handicapped. I listened to his testimony the other day at CD. He said this about as honestly as a man could say it. He's saying, where I am right now in life, as I look back, I would not change one thing God allowed us to go through because of the people we've been able to help. Dr. Lee Roberson had a little girl die. Him and his wife had a little girl named Joy. He's in heaven now. He went to be with the Lord a couple years ago. A little girl named Joy died, and they loved her so much. Oh, they loved their little girl so much. She died. As the ministry went on, somebody come along and donated hundreds of acres to the church, and Dr. Roberson didn't know what to do with it. Make a long story short, they started a little camp. You know what they called the camp? Camp Joy. That camp's been going on for about 60 years now. And they have had thousands and thousands and thousands of little boys and girls from all over the world, all over the country, inner city and everything, come to that camp and hear the story of Jesus Christ and be saved. And they have to this day never turned away one child who couldn't afford it. God has always provided. And what traumatized them ended up being a blessing to a whole lot of other people. Listen, I'm sorry if you were ever raped or molested, or whatever's happened to you. But God can give you a wonderful season of healing in your life, and you can help other people who've been raped and molested. They're all over the place. All over the place. But you have got to learn how to function in a traumatized life. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray now you just bless our time of invitation. Help us, Lord. I don't know what all people have gone through, Lord. I heard about a lady that came to this church recently and just heard her life story yesterday. And Lord, I have no idea what to say to her. Nobody should ever go through what she's gone through. Lord, we just pray you'd help us. I thank you. I really do. I can't think of anything I'd change about my life, what I know now. And I don't know what's going to happen. Thank you. Help us, Lord. Help us in making the application today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray.